So if someone tries to impart their view of who they believe we are, what they believe we can or cannot do, it stings for a minute, for sure. I mean, especially for people we really care about who say that we can or can't do something. And I think the thing that works best that I've seen is to sit with it and say, is that true? And if I believe it's true, then why? Why do I believe it's true when I didn't believe it was true prior to the conversation?
Okay.
So to me, but you can't go, I don't think you can find it by going to somebody else and saying, you know, so and so said this to me. Is that right? You know, and then that's just someone else's opinion. And then so and so said this is, do you think that's right? That's not where the true countenance, where you shore yourself up to be like, nah. You don't even know who I am.
Wow.
That work, that is inner work.
Welcome to the Awaken the Awesome podcast with your host, Olivier Day. This is Awaken the Awesome, a podcast bringing a down-to-earth approach to personal growth. On this show, we're helping individuals just like you learn about tapping into their incredible potential through insightful interviews and inspiring lessons. Our mission is to encourage you to always keep pushing towards achieving your dreams and to stay awesome along the way. Our wonderful guest today is straight-talking, fun-loving, rule-breaking, mess-making, sometimes cussing, but always enjoyable spirit, Jody King. On top of being an incredibly talented and established artist with a career spanning over 20 years, Jody is also a professional educator, speaker, entrepreneur, podcaster, and mother, with her work having been featured in notable publications such as Forbes, Entrepreneur Magazine, and Vogue. Jody is a bona fide creative badass, a true avalanche of incredible energy and thoughtful wisdom when it comes to tapping into our inner creative and shamelessly letting it out. She is all too familiar with the weird feeling that you get as a day-to-day, say, number cruncher who has had that itch to paint, sing, write, make pottery, but backs away at the very idea, thinking that it's not for them. To put it in her own words, it takes a special kind of courage to turn ourselves inside out and show it to the world. Jody's approach with helping her clients create what she calls honest art is very well aligned with her conviction that the starving artist idea is actual complete nonsense. She believes artists can grow in their creative field of choice and have their passion become a profitable, sustainable business. I had such a fun time sharing space with Jody and getting to know more about her work and vision. This conversation did hit a really honest nerve, where I'm clearly reminded of the importance of staying true to your authentic self. And while she does not negate the fact that even though this does take some work on yourself, you should feel safe in realizing that it is not complicated once you choose to accept the individual singular talent that lies within you. On this episode, Jody dishes out the importance of recognizing your creative urges and fueling them as they happen, not backing down on your authentic self, how knowing yourself is a keystone to your success, and so much more. So let's get into this. Awaken the Awesome, episode 208 with Jody King. Here we go. That's why I wanted to, first of all, be incredibly, incredibly grateful for your time, because having listened to your content, having listened to your episodes, I really want to say thank you, because that's always why I want to celebrate the guest going into the show. Every time they show up, I really want to celebrate you, Jody, because in your personal journey, in your words, in your insights, in your powerful, powerful accounts of truth, vulnerability, and inspiration into letting us know in no uncertain words how to just get the fuck out of our own fog.
Yes.
And just go ahead and paint. Be shamelessly and unabashedly honest about who we are and do what the universe calls you to do. Just pick up a paintbrush. We're not just talking to artists here, but people who want
Absolutely.
To understand that within yourself is something terrific that you have to express, be it through music, be it
100%.
Through painting, be it through woodworking. But that is the message that you push forward. And I find that incredibly inspiring. And I want to thank you for all the work that you do and all the work that you've done and all the things that you're still doing. And I just want to say a heartfelt thank you for being on the Awaken the Awesome podcast. It's a pleasure to have you.
That was so kind of you to say. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Really, really appreciate it. It is I have a friend who says, I like my friends just a little fucked up. And I thought, I don't relate to anybody who can't be honest about their struggles or honest about, you know, just life. I can't relate to that. And so of course I always want to be relatable and to other people as well, but I love that saying. So that's how I am. Just a little.
And you have to.
Yes, I think we all are.
We spend so much time.
Maybe some people won't relate to that.
Because mm-hmm. I think that we spend so much time editing ourselves. We're trying to be the perfect person or the right version of what the world expects us to be.
Yeah.
And you understand that, you know what? I think, was it Dr. Seuss that says the people who matter don't care? And the people who care
don't matter.
Yeah. So I think that really resonates. But it's really something that I want people to take away. If there's anything you guys can take away from this wonderful, wonderful exchange, from Jodi's insights, her journey, her teachings, her wonderful content, is the fact that you should not be ashamed and you should never dim your own light for other people's opinion. I think that's one thing that you always bring forward.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, of course, my business, as I'm a professional artist, I've been a professional artist for over 20 years. And so a lot of times what it looks like, I think, to many people is it looks like I teach artists how to paint, or I teach artists how to have a thriving art business, because I think, you know, the starving artist cliche is bullshit. But so it looks like that's what I do, is that I teach artists how to, you know, do these things. But the truth is that what my purpose is I help artists. That just happens to be my audience, but we're all creatives. I think we're all artists, but I help people excavate their truest, highest version of themselves through the use of art and creativity. And there was a recent, you may have heard this. There mm-hmm. was a recent study that was done. I think it was the Spain studies, SPANE. It was a study about energy, and you know how we know Einstein proves that everything is energy, right? Mm-hmm. And so the study was really to see, I think they did a couple thousand people, and they wanted to see what energetic properties have the highest vibration. And if you were to ask prior to this study, you know, what is the highest vibration we can all have? Because you know that person that just walks in the room, and they just, you just know, there's just something about them. You want to be around them. There's just some, that their vibration is so high. and so before this study, recent study, most people would say the highest vibration is love, right? If we can feel and embody love, that is the highest vibration that we can have. Wow. But this new study that was done showed that there was one other thing that was 400 times more powerful than that.
Wow.
And it showed that it was authenticity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So look this up. It's really fascinating. I wish I had more of the details of it, but it's SPANE. So to your point of what you just said, the more we can show up so fully ourselves, the unedited version of ourselves, mm-hmm. you know, that's really when we have the most strength and power and ability to influence ourselves and others, is through just being the truest, highest version of ourselves. So lucky for me, I get to do it through the use of art and creativity for folks. But wow. it was a beautiful reminder, like, okay, Jodi, you're on the right track.
You got something incredible that you've tapped into. And if more and more people can just have the audacity to look within, not outward, but look within, and understand that those nuggets and that validation and that inspiration and that confirmation that you're looking for isn't that far off, but you have to dare to look within, because sometimes it's messy there, and that's okay.
You know what? It's always messy there. I have a book that's coming out at the end of this year, and the name of it, it's a memoir, and it's called Messy for that very reason.
Amazon wish list.
Exactly.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, but it is that, you know, to dare to go in and to do that work, to dare to look at the, you know, the darkness and the I guess you could call them imperfections, but the things that maybe we need cleaning up a little bit. You know, first we have to admit that maybe a few things could have a little light shine on them and have a little empathy for ourselves while we do that.
Can I share a personal story?
Absolutely.
When I was I think 8th and 9th grade, my parents put me, no, not even my parents, like my sister went to an all girls school, and there was a theater group happening, and they needed a male role. And my sister hit me up and said, like, hey, you know, I think you'd be good for this. You could try it out. I've never done theater in my life. I got there on a stage, and it turns out I was good and it was great. And the first show that happened that year was just like, oh, awesome. So my God, it's like, you know, Ollie's so great. Like, you know, you should come back next year. Our next troupe, you're definitely there. Okay. Fast forward. Let's say I just put in a lot more energy into theater than I did into my my academics.
Right.
And again, my parents are very, very traditional. My father's an engineer. My mom's a doctor. So they were not messing around. It's like, listen, either you work and you show me the grades or you're leaving the theater group. So all this to say that didn't work out. So I never got, let's just say that's one very huge regret of mine, that I never stood up for myself and said, like, you know, this is what I want to do, because there's still that fire inside of me that loves the stage, not movies, but the stage. I really loved it, yes. But I never explored it. But all this to say that when we let others take the steering wheel of our life, we may not like where we end up. And you shared a personal story in many of your interviews about how a third grade teacher and mushrooms. Can you probably share this story? Because I think that's something that's really going to resonate with a lot of people. How some people have a say in our lives and how they think that they can have the authority to try to direct us.
Yes. Well, those are two big stories. The mushroom story is one. Third grade teacher is different. But so the thing is that I never really considered myself to be an artist. I'm 55 right now. And 20 years ago, when I was 35, I picked up a paintbrush. And prior to that, I really had no desire whatsoever to paint, to draw. I didn't even really like coloring. I just wasn't that kid. And when I dug a little deeper to see, like, where did this come from? That I just was kind of shunned that part. I danced when I was younger. So that to me was like a creative expression. But where did it come from that I kind of shunned the visual arts? And I would trace it back to my third grade teacher. And what happened was we were going to learn how to do ceramics. And so, oh, wait, sorry. I'm just now realizing the mushroom. I have a different mushroom story. We're not telling that one.
Okay. 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 Okay.
Normally when I say the mushroom story, it's a whole different story. No, we won't go there. Sorry. Okay. So anyway, we were in third grade. We're sitting at, you know, those cafeteria tables, one next to each other. And my third grade teacher put balls of clay in front of everyone. And the instruction was to create a mushroom out of this and then paint it. And so I did, like everybody else was doing, but I had some leftover clay. And so I rolled up the little balls of clay and I put them on top. And then I painted the little balls a different color. Then I mm-hmm. painted the rest of the mushroom and handed it over to the teacher. And then a week later, she had fired them in the kiln. And so a week later, we came back and she presented all of the mushrooms in front of each of the kids. And as she was going down the line, she would say something like, you know, I love that, Julie and David, such a pretty color. Yeah, you know, she was kind of complimenting everyone. And when she got to me, she put the mushroom in front of me and she said, Jody, those little balls were not part of the assignment.
I mean, really? Really?
Really?
Wow.
So, you know, my little brain just took it, well, I'm of all of these people, I'm not the artist within this, and never did it again. Now, in hindsight, I realized that showed a lot of creativity, you know, for third grader. Mm-hmm. And it also showed some authenticity. I was just kind of doing it my way. But it's so funny how one person has the power to, you know, feed into somebody or to really take something from someone. So I try to be really mindful of that in the work that I do, and to remind everyone, they're all creative. They've all got something inside them that they can express. And I think that theater thing is amazing. I have a daughter who's went down the theater route. She did the whole thing. And I'm really glad she did, because there's so many, like, you're using some of those gifts now in what you do.
Over the course of 7 years, again, there are some guests off the air. They just get off and it's like, you know what? You have a really good radio voice. You have that kind of a radio voice. I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. Thank you. And I'm always doing the very courteous, oh, thank you. That's nice to say. And my wife and my sister have really been dogging me for the past years. Like, that is your gift. And I'm not sure if that's something that you come across. Like, you might, people know, they see, they feel it inside, but still there's that mental block. Is it an emotional discomfort? Is it the unwillingness to admit that, yes, this is you? Again, talking about mm-hmm. looking within. Is that something you come across in your discussions with clients? Or
that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. And, you know, one of the things that I talk a lot about with artists is the Simon Sinek idea of finding your why. I was asked this question years ago about why I painted. Why do you paint? Why? And the why is so important because it informs our understanding of what we're doing and can make it our work that much more powerful to understand your why. And so I work with artists a lot on trying to understand their why. Here's an example. Mm-hmm. So there's an artist who paints chairs, and she's always liked to paint chairs, but she never really considered herself an artist. She's just painting a chair, for goodness sakes, right? Mm-hmm. Just a chair. And so as we dug a little more into, well, what does this chair represent to you? What is it? And we found that for her, like, what is a chair? Where do you find them? Well, it's when we gather around the dinner table, right? We're generally sitting in chairs, depending on the culture. When somebody dies and we're eating, either sitting Shiva or whatever it might be, we're sitting in chairs. When we are any sort of communal setting, we're generally sitting on chairs. And as she started digging in, and she's like, oh, but there's chairs here, and there's chairs here, and there's chairs here, it became even, her work became even more powerful. And the reason I bring this up is because sometimes our why and our purpose is so obvious that we can't see it. Like, it's so, almost so easy, we can't see it. And like, for you have this gift, right? And so it's always like, but if it comes easy, is that real? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it's absolutely real. So I get that all the time. People, they bemoan the fact that they're not creative, or they bemoan the fact that they're not an artist, when in fact there was a study done where they went into kindergarten classrooms and they said, everyone here who's an artist, raise your hand. And 100% of the kids raised their hands.
Okay.
And then they went into, I think it was a fourth grade classroom, and they said, everyone here who's an artist, raise your hand. And only half the kids raised their hand. So that would have been me. Like, wow. I wouldn't have been raising my hand.
Okay.
And then they went to middle school and they said, everyone here who's an artist, raise their hand. And only one child raised their hand. So we were all born artists. We were all born creative. It shows up differently for everyone. For you, you use your voice. For others, it might be singing. For another, it might be gardening. Another, it might be cooking. Another, it might be engineering. For me, it's visual arts, but it's different for everyone. But the sooner we embrace our gifts, we give them power.
Wow. And I wanted to piggyback on what you just said, still going back to the third grade story, because in one of your writings, you also mentioned that through that episode, after that happened, obviously, as a young child, that stays with you. And in your own words, you said, I felt dismantled. Sometimes mm-hmm. these figures of authority, these teachers, these parents, these relatives, even in our adult life, they do not understand the weight that these words can have and the impact and the shift that can happen if we buy into that. And my question to you is like, you've actually overcome it. And I guess for those of us who feel dismantled, who've had that naysaying, who've had that, you know, well, good luck with that. Well, you can't do that. You never have experience. Did you go to art school? But how do we carry ourselves out of that fear, that how do we not fall into the trap of believing them if we know what's within us?
That's such a great question. And I don't know that I have a pinpoint answer for it, but I do know where it doesn't come from. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't come from the outside of us.
Okay.
So if someone tries to impart their view of who they believe we are, what they believe we can or cannot do, it stings for a minute, for sure. I mean, especially for people we really care about who say that we can or can't do something. And then that's when we go back and we have to I'm big on meditation, big on just being still and, you know, sitting with something. And I think the thing that works best that I've seen is to sit with it and say, is that true? Mm. And if I believe it's true, then why? Why do I believe it's true when I didn't believe it was true prior to the conversation?
Okay.
So to me, but you can't go, I don't think you can find it by going to somebody else and saying, you know, so-and-so said this to me. Is that right? You know, and then that's just someone else's opinion. Mm-hmm. And then so-and-so said this is, do you think that's right? That's not where the true countenance, where you shore yourself up to be like, nah, you don't even know who I am. Wow. That work, that is inner work. That's the work that leaves you unwavering your pursuit.
That is crazy. My daughter, because I've got such a weird relationship with her, she hates when I do it. She's ADD, but you know, sometimes, like, you know, so she's very bubbly. She's all over the place. She has ideas whatsoever. She will try to, I don't know, she'll come up with a new way to tie her laces. One day it's painting, the other day it's dancing. It's crazy. I'm learning to understand her because she's 10 right now, and it's been something, because dealing with any parent who has an ADD kid knows what I'm talking about. It's all over the place. It's all over the place. And I'm learning to understand that it's not her, it's her brain. Because it's right. I'm pretty level. I'm pretty direct and like, okay, methodical. But no, she knows this. She, like, you know, God will give you someone to challenge that, my friend. So what I was saying that is because I try to never, she wants my opinion on a lot of things. Like, suppose, like you, she drew a dress, or, you know, she sewed this little dress on her doll, or she made this drawing for a friend. Daddy, what do you think? And I'm like, what do you think?
Oh yeah.
And I just sit with that. She's like, well, Dad, I asked you, what do you think? No. What do you think? Mm-hmm. Is it pretty? Do you think it's pretty? But Daddy, I'm wearing this dress. I want you to know if it's, well, I'd love to know what you think. And I'll stick with that, because I don't want her to carry my opinion, because if I don't like it, because I know she can be fragile.
Yeah.
And I will make that effort. And sometimes it's hard, because I just want to say, well, you know, it's kind of mixed up a bunch of colors here. There's a lot going on there, but I can't do that because that's who she is. And there's nothing more beautiful than the innocence of youth, because I have no right to take that away from her. So that's something that we lose, I think, growing up. I don't know where that comes from, because life happens, but it's important to stay connected with that inner spark. Don't you think?
100%. And I love that she's doing is what we all do, which is to seek outside validation for our worth. Right. We started very, very early to do that. But I love that you put the question back on her. But it is so important not to lose our spark in that way. You know, when I ask, I do art critiques for the artists that are in my programs. And I always start the critique with, first of all, tell me about this piece. Right. So mm-hmm. then I can come to understand what it means for them. And then the second thing I say is, tell me what you love about it. And, you know, that helps an artist start to discern for themselves what they love, what they're doing, why they're doing it, because we inherently are exposed to people judging our work, mm-hmm. right? If we put it out there to sell, there's going to be people that like it, and there will always be people that do not like it. That's just the way it works. But if we can have ourselves, like, be really clear on ourselves, on what it means to us, why we're doing this, you know, what we love about it, et cetera, then we are able to stand much, much firmer in who we are, and really just to keep going so that we don't lose that spark. We got to keep it.
Wow. You shared something that I thought was very powerful, still in the same realm of always connecting with always connecting within. You shared your personal morning meditation, or personal morning mantra, if you will. And I hope I'm not paraphrasing, but I'll try to remain respectful. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? I think those are very, very powerful questions that keep you anchored within your journey. And I just wanted to know, where did that come from? Was it something, is it something that's new? Was it something that you've done for like the past 30 years? Because I'm sure there's a story behind that.
I wish I had a great story. I think I heard it somewhere in it. Well, I know it was not original to me. I wish it was, but I can't imagine that I came up with that. But it resonated so much with me because it keeps me in a place of service. Okay. And it feels like it really keeps me grounded. Because, you know, the work that I do, the work that you do, it's very much kind of self-reflective. I'm painting, it's me, what does it mean about what am I experience? Like, you know, it can be a little me-centric. Mm-hmm. But when I say that every morning, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say? And to whom? Keeps me in a more, it maybe not keeps me, but it at least starts my day in a place of service.
I love it, because that's one thing that people should never forget. You cannot be so centered on your navel that you forget that you are creating, you are speaking, you exist to bring good, to bring kindness, to bring your presence, your gift, your worth. Because it is true that I really believe this to my core. I don't care if you're spiritual or not, if you're religious or not, you are put on this earth for a purpose. I know it's very hard to walk the line of trying to understand within the fog, what am I here to do? That's the eternal question. And mm-hmm. again, we never know how long we're here for. That's why it keeps us very antsy, as in like, okay, I got shit to do, but what? Yeah. But when you say something like that, it really like, okay, like you said, whether it's the universe or God, whatever you want to call it, but what am I supposed to do? You cannot wake up every morning and just say like, okay, let me just wing it. Let me just figure it out and let's see what the day has for me. But no, if you wake up with intention and walk within that, be intentional about your life, whether it's, I will be a good husband today. I will make my wife coffee. I will hug my kids just 2 seconds longer or something. These things can anchor you. And a lot of people lose that because they think they're just running the hamster wheel. And, you know, for that actuary who would like to write a novel, sometimes it's something as simple as, you know what? Grab your phone, write one line. Hey, you wrote something today. When? You can't just wake up, you know, and just think that it's just going to magically materialize, because it takes a second. Because if I understand, Jody, you said that you didn't go to art school.
No.
Can you imagine? No. And here you are. What a difference 20 years makes.
I know. And to your point of just start, right? Write that first line. That's what I would say to anybody who has any creative pursuit or otherwise, just start, because we all started. You talked about when you started your podcast, you know, how it's always a rough go when you start anything, mm-hmm. right? Anything is going to be rough. You can't compare, you know, my chapter 20 to your chapter one. You can't do it. I started and I sucked when I first started. I sucked hard. I know this because I just saw one of my paintings earlier today. It's like, what made me think I should keep going with the way that started?
Wow.
But blissful ignorance, I guess. But yeah, you just have to start and be prepared for, you know, as I think it was Brené Brown or maybe it was Anne Lamott said, it all starts with a shitty first draft. You just got to be ready. Write the shitty first draft. Start there.
Wow. Wow. And so you do not subscribe to that entire mentality of the starving artist. You don't believe that?
No.
Because a lot of people always think artists, and again, coming from Haiti, I know this, right? Because like I said, it's a very traditional society. It's a very traditional culture. So you say, that's the dichotomy, right? We are a people of music. There are paintings, there's woodworking, there's metalworking, there's artists, there's singers. We love having creativity. We have it in our blood. But you tell your parents you're going to go out and start a band or, you know, be a painter. It's like, nope, but not before you're a lawyer, not before you're a doctor. Right. Yeah, sure, you can do that, but have a traditional plan B. So I totally understand that because they know about, they always have that idea of the starving artist, but you don't subscribe to that.
I don't subscribe to it at all. Fortunately, I am in the work that I do. I get to work with artists all over the world. Excuse me, artists all over the world, and I see the successes that they are having. Additionally, I have two daughters. One is a writer. Went to school. Went to university for writing, and the other one, went to school for theater, but is a comedian. And
wow.
I don't pay either one of their bills. They're in their, you know, mid to late 20s. And, you know, they were raised by, you know, me saying, if you want a career in the arts, you can do this, but you need to know how to do it, right? It's like the thing about having a plan B is if you have a plan B, you won't give fully to your plan A. And when you give fully to your plan A, that means you gotta figure out how to make a living doing this. Rather than just the, I call it the paint and hope strategy, but that could be the sing and hope strategy or the, you know, write and hope strategy, whatever it might be. That is not a strategy. There's not a business in the world that would succeed if they just like, let's say I wanted to start a lawn care business, right? And so I'm like, you know what? I really like being outside. I really like being in nature. I don't want to sit behind a desk. So I'm going to start lawn care. So I'm going to buy a lawnmower and a weed eater and whatever else I might need. And then I just hoped people were going to show up and want what I had to offer. That doesn't work in any business. But for some reason, artists have been told they need to have a plan B because it's not going to work out for them. And my experience is it works out when you have a plan, when you actually go, okay, here's what I'm going to do. You know, here's how I'm going to market it. Here's how I'm going to sell it. Here's where I'm going to go to, you know, present it. Here's like, there are amazing opportunities for artists, but we have to be willing to do what it takes to make a living doing what we love. And I'm telling you, the payoff is incredible because we get to, number one, make a living doing what we love. That there's nothing wrong with that. But also, we get to fully express the things that we're passionate about. You know, we've talked about how you use your voice, but it's more than just the tone of your voice and, you know, the cadence of what you say. It's the fact that you have something to say and you say it.
Appreciate
and using our voice as an artist is so important. So important. Think of it this way. Like, let's say artists, I work with visual artists, right? And we've got a lot inside of us and we've got to take it and we've got to put it on the outside of us. Like that is what makes us do what we have to do. So artists, especially visual artists, we take in so much of the world. Artists in general take in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't hold it all. We're the sensitive ones, the songwriters, the theater, the art. Yeah, we are the sensitive ones and we take in so much of the world visually, auditory, like just energetically, we take it all in. We can't hold it all. What are we going to do with it? So we have to take it, we have to put it on the outside of us, right? Mm-hmm. And that is the most vulnerable feeling we can have. But it also is so incredible because when we can do that, we validate another human's experience. So artists validate the human experience. That is no small thing. When you think of that book that somebody wrote that resonated so much with you, it changed your life. Mm-hmm. When you think of Marvin Gaye, you know, he wrote Let's Get It On. If that doesn't validate a certain human experience, mm-hmm. I don't know what does. You know, artists are so integral to the world, and yet we're the ones that are told you're going to starve. Like the only other profession that's like straight up poverty is the priesthood, you know, the ministry. Wow. And artists. And yet we provide such value with connection with others and validating others. So I don't subscribe to the starving artist BS. And I've seen that there's ways that it works. There's just a lot that you can do. But artists have to learn. It's not taught in art school, which is crazy to me, which is also why I'm glad I didn't go to art school. It's like, well, because I wouldn't have learned all of the entrepreneurial stuff that I learned instead.
What's the point of going if you're not going to teach me exactly what I need to know to, you know, live off this thing that you're teaching me?
Exactly. And exactly.
What I love about it is the fact that, okay, let me be ironic for 2 seconds. But Jody, I'm a purist. I cannot be bothered by, you know, the conventions of, you know, capitalist society and making money off my art. I'm a purist. I live for my art. But you're broke.
Yeah. How's that working for you?
What you're saying is that there has to be a method to the madness, because planning has part to it. It's called a business plan for a reason. There's nothing wrong with making fun and making money off your painting and everything, because we do live in a society. Well, you know, when I tell, like, who was it? I got a good friend who's a professional photographer. Like, listen, I love photography. This is my dream. I love it. But cameras cost money.
Yeah.
So lenses cost money. So trust me, I got to make this business work.
Yeah. And you can be, by the way, I hear this a lot, you know, about, especially from purists who are very frustrated with the ways that so many artists are choosing to sell their work right now, specifically like social media. Social media is a huge tool for artists to get their work seen, because prior to that, it was really just the gallery system. But, you know, with, you know, thank goodness for the internet, but now we're able to have other means to do it. And purists are like saying, you're kind of selling out, you're, you know, whatever. And I don't think that it has to be a binary at all. Mm-hmm. I think it can be both, where you can be absolutely true to the work, absolutely true to yourself, and you can still make money in a way that isn't aligned with you. Maybe social media is not aligned with a lot of artists. But if they want their work in galleries, the gallery system has changed. Now, when you apply to a gallery, most of their submission guidelines, they want to see what kind of social media following you have. Wow. It's always about the art first, by the way, mm-hmm. always about the art first. Mm-hmm. So you can't have a strong social media following and your art suck. That doesn't, you know, they won't just take you for that. It always comes down to the art first. But the game is changing. And so if artists do want to, even if they don't want to make a living, but they, you know, they want to make consistent money, there are ways to do it. It doesn't have to be social media, but there's certainly many, many ways to do it.
Plenty of channels. And I refuse to believe this as well, because I believe people who say that, unfortunately, as simply as I can put it, they just don't want to put in the work. I've learned this time and time again with this podcast, because funny enough, before this one, I had a photography podcast. And just to compare with authenticity, I loved doing photography. I loved it. Took a lot of pictures. They had a few wedding gigs here and there, but it wasn't authentic. I love photography enough to do it, but do I love it enough to make a weekly photography podcast episode every single day? No. And that's why I retired. It was like, no, this isn't me. Sure, I enjoy the gift of gab, but you know, it took my wife.
Yeah, you gotta love it.
you got to love it. But my wife was like, maybe it's just the, no, you like the podcasting. I mean, you know, you can handle a, you know, 4-hour conversation about toothpicks, but maybe it's the photography thing that's not working for you. And she was right. You know what? You're more the connector. You love human connections. And that's why, you know, I really, you know, I retired it. And, you know, that's why I've been having fun with this thing for the past 7 years. And what I want people to hear from what you just told us is the fact that consistency is key. And yes, if you don't love it, because it's going to require time, it's going to require mm-hmm. effort, it's going to require sacrifice, it's going to require growth, because as you said, you know, the game changes all the time. You have to know the rules in order to either master them or bend them. So you have to understand what you're in for and have fun. If you're not having fun, it's what's can the point?
Okay. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Please.
This is so important. And I don't think we're talking about this enough. So the idea of having fun, I was, you know, I'm not sure when this is coming out, but it's, you know, for towards the beginning of the year right now. And so a lot of people are talking about, you know, what we want to do in the year, but it doesn't matter. It can be any time of the year. But when I work with artists, what I've been saying recently is like, look, here's like 16 different ways that, you know, we've talked about you making money. Is it art fair? Is it email? Is it social media? Is it art consultants? Is it interior designers? Is it galleries? Is it like, there's all these different ways to do it, right? And so we're looking at the year and I go, I want you to pick three things that sound like fun. Like, what is going to be fun for you? Because now that we know that our highest energetic state is authenticity, mm-hmm. you know, and below that is love and then joy, right? If we want to stay in this high vibration in our business, so basically our waking hours, right? Mm-hmm. Most of our waking hours, we got to stay in what's true for us. And how do we know it's true for us? It's if we're having fun. Because if we hate it, we're not going to stick with it, right? And it's also not going to be as effective. So I always say, think about what would be fun for you. And like for me this year, what is fun for me is like, I want to collaborate. I want to collaborate with people. I want to do things with other people. I want to collaborate on paintings. I want to collaborate on projects. I'm like, that to me sounds fun. Doing an art fair? Nah, I could. That doesn't really sound like fun. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to choose to move forward with my business based on what sounds fun, because that's going to help me and everyone else.
If it's not fun, why do it? Because yes. why subject yourself to something that's going to be more irritating, frustrating? Because we talked about the time that we have left on this earth. I would recommend you do it something that you actually enjoy doing.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you don't have to be on the end result of someone's frustration. Or if you don't want to do it, just don't. Again, no, never hurt anybody, you know, because your tribe will find you. I think it was Seth Godin that said that in his book, Tribes. You know, you find your tribe. You're not for everybody. Not everybody's for you. And that's okay. It goes for your art, goes for your personality, goes for, you know, your taste in music. And that's okay.
Absolutely.
We are coming up on top of the hour, but I did not want to miss this one, because this really touched me. I had never heard someone put this so beautifully, but you're talking about, I guess, what's called basically the journey of the artist in terms of creation. And mm-hmm. I believe you put it as such. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. This is tricky. This is shit. Fuck, I am shit. Hey, wait a second. This might work. And back to this is awesome.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
I guess that's not just for artists, is it?
No, it's absolutely not just for artists. In fact, the original creative process, at least this creative process, a lot of people have written about creative processes over the years. Mm-hmm. But this particular one, I changed it a little bit to suit myself, but it was from Adam Grant, who's an organizational psychologist. So he's not an artist, right? The creative process goes for really any endeavor that we undertake, whether you're starting a podcast or, you know, you want to have children, start a family, or you're trying to do a painting. But this is really important. So when I first learned about this creative process, I had already been painting for a decade. Mm-hmm. And I had been struggling even through that time with every time, I'm talking 100% of the paintings that I painted, there was always a point in the painting where I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Who do I think I am? You know, I may have sold tons of paintings before, but who am I to do this? Right. Of course, I always show up to the canvas hopeful, you know, this is going to be awesome, step one. And then it gets tricky and then it goes to shit. But see, this is the thing. This is where most people stop.
Really?
Most people stop at this is shit or I am shit. Whether you're starting a new business or whatever it might be, it's like that's where they quit. And what the creative process tells us is if you'll just hang in there, just keep going, you will get to this might work. And then if you keep going and you've learned from what happened in the this is shit and I am shit, you can get to this is awesome again. But you can't quit. You can't give up. And now that I live and breathe this creative process. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm so clear on it, I know that when it gets to the fugly, as I like to say, when it gets to the fugly part of the painting, I'm exactly where I need to be. Because if I don't get to fugly, then I'm playing it a little too safe, right? It's just a little too safe here. I'm not really stretching myself. I'm not trusting the process. I'm afraid of being afraid. And so I'll just play it safe. But the creative process tells us you just got to keep going. Don't believe the bullshit. Definitely don't believe it. That phase, you know, I am shit and fuck. So, you know, the reason I changed it to fuck, I am shit, that is that the original version was, you know, you get to that step four and you said, I am shit. But I was teaching a workshop one time and there was this just amazing woman, such a beautiful, kind soul. She was the quietest person in the workshop. Mm-hmm. And as I was explaining this, she had been quiet the whole time. And I said that I am shit. She popped right up. And there were tears that started to fill her eyes. Mm. And she said, I will never say that to myself. Because I am told that every single day by my husband.
Okay.
And in that moment, you know, it caught my breath. And so I took a big old Sharpie and I scratched through that and I just wrote fuck. Mm-hmm. Because we can stop ourselves. I mean, I can stop myself from saying I'm shit now. Mm-hmm. But I do still wallow in a little bit of self-pity. I'm not lying, but that was a profound moment when someone said, you don't have to say that to yourself. So it's been a little bit adapted.
I love it. And kudos to her for having the courage to step up and not walk there. That's one line she wouldn't walk in. And again, that's her stepping into her own authenticity. That's wonderful.
Absolutely. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, beautiful. So beautiful. Jody, I don't want to take too much of your time. It's been a tremendous honor and privilege and a thrill. I've learned so much. I can't say this enough. Time is the most valuable resource we have. And the fact that, you know, in the fact of your personal mantra saying, where would you have me go? What would you have me do? What would you have me say? The fact that you actually let yourself be guided here and share your time, insight, and incredible, incredible energy with us. It's an honor. And I can't thank you enough for all the gift of beauty, and truth and genuine authenticity that you share with us today.
Well, thank you. It's my sincere pleasure. Apparently you are the whom. What would you have to say and to whom?
I love it.
Thank you.
I love it. It's we do have a running tradition on the podcast, what I like to call the next step. It's just, you know, not to put you on the spot. It's just opening up the guests, like kind of a red carpet thing. You know, just if you can imagine someone listening to this and waking up tomorrow and using whether a nugget, a book, a mantra, a song, a quote, anything, they can wake up tomorrow and use as a next step towards their next level, creative process or otherwise. What can we leave the listeners with?
Mm-hmm. If they were going to wake up tomorrow, I think, you know, and want to take a nugget away, I would say that the truth of who you are is the most, like, uncovering that is the most important work that you can do.
Wow.
And don't be afraid to do that work, because that is where the beauty of everything lies.
Wow. Guys, I am so full. I am so full. Wow. Wow. That is amazing. Oh, Jody, thank you so much. If any one of our listeners wants to connect with you, follow up, sign up for a workshop, any place we can direct them to.
Yeah, they can go to my website, jodyking.com. My name is spelled JodieKing.com. So jodyking.com, or they're welcome to hang out with me on the Instagram. And that's Jody King. It's Jody_King. So I'd love to see you, and I'd love to support artists however I can. I also have a podcast, the Honest Art Podcast. So find me, join me.
Go follow the podcast, guys. It's definitely worth your time if you're a creative, an artist, and definitely, and again, Jody's beautiful, beautiful website. Again, it's full of so many nuggets and articles and all the wonderful things she's doing on the web presences. And God, man, I am so, 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 so grateful. I'm so giddy. But guys, another episode of Awaken the Awesome in the can. Jody, thank you so much for this wonderful time. Again, open invitation anytime. This is not the last of our interactions. I'm already following you on Instagram, and I will definitely, again, put in all the web links and all the references on the blog post when it goes live. But for everything that you do and share and all the good you put in the world, thank you so, so very much.
It's an honor. Thank you. You take care.
Guys, as always, stay blessed, stay safe. Thank you for following the journey and supporting us. You know, just find us in all the interwebs. You know where we are, you know, on the Apples and the podcasts and the Spotify's of the world. As always, do stay blessed, stay safe, and as always, do stay awesome. This has been another episode of the Awaken the Awesome podcast. We always love to get your feedback, so please do drop us a line via Instagram, Facebook, or email. Our email address, awakentheawesome@gmail.com. Do visit our official website at awakentheawesome.ca, where you can find our entire back catalog of episodes and incredible guests. Also, if you haven't already, please hop on over to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, give us a rating, and leave us a review, as this helps us tremendously in growing this podcast and spreading the word to more awesome listeners like you. We always appreciate your support, and thank you for listening. Stay awesome.